And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. We have with us Jerome Davis. Good morning, Jerome.
Howdy, Pete.
So I was telling people about your show. I forget which. Is it 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock? I know I sometimes hear it.
It's 6 o'clock on Thursday and 8 o'clock on Sunday.
Okay, it's Sunday when I hear it. That's what I was saying. 6 o'clock, there's too much. I think I'm watering plants or something. But so when did you start Incoherent Ramblings?
In 2017, when KTALLB first came on the air.
Hold on.
And Jerome, this is Nancy Baker, and I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to meet you yet.
Baker is here.
Howdy, Ms. Baker. I can barely hear you, but I heard you.
But what I'd like to know is your history with radio prior to coming to KTAL to almost 10 years ago, KTAL's been on the air.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I got my first radio job in 1974 when I was 19, and it was in Pensacola, Florida.
And you just, I think radio is really interesting because it's so much. Actually, it's, you know, you really can explore just any subject and any music, and it just gives you a lot of freedom.
Well, it is at KTALLP. Maybe some of the larger commercial outlets, freedom is a rare thing.
Yes.
Those guys are pretty restricted in what they can say and what they can do.
No, that is true. I have to back off. Yes, you're absolutely right. The FCC used to get upset, but certain things that were covered. So was that also in music? Is that what you've already been passionate about?
Mostly what I did prior to KTALLP was news-based. I used to live in Colorado Springs, and I worked for the NPR outlet in Colorado Springs, which was, how can I forget those call letters? but it was, it was the NPR station. How can I forget them? It was,
we won't say anything, No stones thrown from here,
Okay, so I lived there for 15 years. I worked with the station for about 7 years, and then I did a little talk radio in Denver for a little less than a year. And then I moved back to Chicago because there was some family stuff happening. And
how did you find your way down here to Las Cruces?
This is where the car ran out of gas. That was a joke. But the truth is kind of a joke, too. I thought Las Cruces was where Las Vegas is. because I was living in Colorado Springs, and, I was going to work for the post office, which I am doing right now, and the job was in Las Cruces, and I thought Las Cruces was where I thought it was 5 hours from Colorado Springs, which was something I could, trips I could make every weekend, that kind of stuff. But I was wrong. So here I am. But I got down here, and I had an opportunity to live on 40 acres, and so that's kind of really what made, that and the job with the post office is what made me stay. I thought my youngest son was going to come out here and, we're going to, be homesteaders and all that kind of crap. And, but he moved to San Diego, so you can forget about that.
Well, San Diego is nice, too. So what are if you were trying to describe the Incoherent Ramblings show, what do you do on it? If you were telling somebody who was riding here with you on the train or airplane or something about the show, how would you describe it?
I would describe it as basically a two-hour rant against racism.
Oh, what's wrong with racism?
Oh, boy.
Well, I don't expensive, for one thing, as Americans are finding out.
Yeah. Well, you have, unfortunately, you have a lot of material these days, and my heart goes out.
Yeah, you know, the price of eggs being what it is, I mean, that's where everybody voted for Trump, right?
Yep.
Those who voted for him, yep.
So that's what I mean. Well, that
and he doesn't get us into stupid foreign wars.
And he keeps down the price of gas, me another one. Yeah, what a grifter. Yes, and that's just exposing what this ugly undercurrent in our 250th year. I think that's an important thing to be remembering and talking about, because we think it was all settled in the Civil War, and it sure wasn't. The founding actually laid the groundwork for what has continued to be a lot of racist, xenophobic behavior.
Well, the Civil War really didn't settle anything because insurrectionists were never held accountable.
Yep.
Sound familiar?
Yep, and then that ends up empowering them. I agree. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. And they were never held accountable.
Never.
And to the extent
they were honored. We built statues and monuments and, Gone with the Wind and the Lost Cause and all of that mess.
And to the extent we did do anything to try to ensure change actually happened in the South, that stopped in 1876, which doesn't seem that long after the war from where we're looking back.
So it wasn't that long after the war, period of Reconstruction. I think Americans are still ambiguous about that. But, I figure any period that had two black senators from Mississippi was a good period.
Yeah. why? I mean, they just got a majority of blacks down there, but why should they have any senators?
You got
damn, man, you want everything.
Of course, Peter is obnoxious.
No, he's for real. I know Pete. He's, what do you expect from a guy who roots for the San Francisco, the Golden State Warriors? Excuse my age.
Well, so, yep.
But they were the Philadelphia Warriors when we were young.
When they had Chamberlain.
So you mix in music and your rants and other people's rants or dialogues.
I do. That's the incoherent part.
It sounds like you could also be partly a conversation with the listeners.
I have that in mind. I'm hoping that people hear something that makes them think about something. I definitely, the music, for me, a perfect program would be 2 hours of spoken word. But that might not, go over well every week with the audience. So I try to play music that they won't hear. Here. However, I've noticed, I don't know who's programming our music lately, but it's pretty good. I hear stuff that I didn't think. I heard Black Knights by Lowell Fulsom on our station, and nobody knows that. That's my mother and father's music.
Well, we do have I don't think you heard it on that, but we do have a show called Music They Don't Want You to Hear. We also have a show.
I know. Yeah, he's on before me, Ron Cook.
Yep. And then we also have another one that goes back to that time, or almost in the back. We have a show called In the Back of the Bar or In the Back of the The Juke in the Back. Thank you.
Yeah, he comes on after me Sunday night. I hear both of those programs. But I'm talking about in our regular rotation.
Gotcha.
I've heard stuff that I didn't think we were capable of.
Well, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, and tell me if you're not expert enough to answer it, but you play Coltrane a lot, and he was a favorite of mine when I was younger, and he was still alive. But who, if you looked at jazz, who are the three or four biggest innovators who made the most difference?
Well, you mentioned Coltrane. He's definitely
the innovators. I'd nominate him, but I don't,
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. See, the innovators don't necessarily make accessible music.
Right.
Case in point, Ornette Coleman.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he was an innovator, but I can't listen to that stuff more than 15 minutes because, you know, some of these guys make what I call, they make music for musicians.
Well, I had that, I had experience with Coltrane, you know, a friend had turned me on to Coltrane and, you know, bought My Favorite Things or something.
Okay.
And then I bought the album Ascension.
Uh-huh.
And I put that on and I was like sitting there on the floor, what am I listening to? I mean, I came to like it, but it was an acquired taste.
That's what happens. You have to come to like, I would never introduce somebody who's new to jazz. I would never play Coltrane for them.
Or Ornette Coleman. Yeah.
No, never. I would play Dexter Gordon. I would play Gene Ammons. I would play Johnny Griffin. I would play those guys. I would play Ben Webster. I would play Lester Young. The accessible
guy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So who is your favorite musician of all time?
Oh, that varies. You know, that varies. Last week it was Sinatra. Next week it's Hendrix. The week after that, it'll be Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there can never be any one favorite. You know, it's your mood. Your mood at a given time.
Yes.
Back to the racism question.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, we see an organized move to kind of erase racism from history and deny that it's anything but history, not unlike the organized move for a long time to kind of rehabilitate the noble white Southerners that fought for their fought for their freedom, freedom lovers. But more serious question. There are a lot of people, white people, I don't think there's any blacks in this category, there may be, but who, you know, they're not particularly racist, but they don't see it around them. So they buy into the idea, oh, that's kind of in our past. We had a civil war and then a civil rights movement and you know. How would you say to somebody, wait a minute?
They need to study history. You know, probably the most, recent act of blatant racism was the George Floyd affair.
Yes.
To me, the most racist part was the fact that there were at least 12 other policemen who didn't
intervene, who didn't step up as this man is. Yeah.
Right. However, that's the racism part. That's the institutionalized racism part.
To accept that. Yeah. To accept it.
You don't see racism in the way the military promotions are being handled these days?
Oh.
Well, that's straight up excess.
Yeah.
That's straight up Whiskey Pete. That is not popular among Pentagon officials, but what can they do?
Yeah.
That is him and him alone. And, you know, the guy's a racist. What do you expect?
Yeah.
You know?
And proud of it, which is
exactly. Well, most racists are proud of it.
Yep.
You know, that's one of the characteristics. You know, I know very few humble racists.
I read something from historian Rick Perlson recently that I think fits here. He said that Americans have, quote, a mystic ability. Reagan and Trump both had the mystic ability to affirm American sense of their own unimpeachable innocence. So, you know, boy, we got, you know, we're not to fault. It's not our fault that, you know, and I just... It's so frightening how quickly we forget, how we choose to forget. How we actively choose to forget.
That's it. You know, I forgot the term that I wanted. The willful, I think, you know, willful, just like there's willful ignorance. You know, people, the truth is available, but people choose to ignore it.
Yes.
I actually think all, you know, racism actually comes from our inability or lack of teaching history. I really think, and I mean American history. You know, Carter G. Woodson is the guy responsible for Black History Month. Mm-hmm. When he started it, it was Negro History Week.
Right.
But when it began, he said himself, I hope the day comes when Black History Month will no longer be needed because we'll be teaching the truth about American history. Yes. And if they teach the truth about American history, everybody will be there. Martin Luther King, Sitting Bull, Elizabeth Stanton. Everybody will be there if they teach the truth about American history.
Yep.
Another factor in it, not defending anybody about anything, but the term racism, if you think about it, would be defined so differently now from the way it would have been in our childhood.
I see what you mean, yeah.
In the sense that in those days, a racist was, you know, George Wallace, you know,
right.
Somebody who made his bones, you know, made his political career.
He was always a Southerner.
Right.
And usually some type of official, yeah. Like you say, George Wallace, right. A politician, or the more stereotypical sheriff.
And now, you know, and in those days, stuff that we would now call racism. Well, I'm not a racist. I don't try to put down the blacks. On the other hand, you know, the New York Times, I think in our lifetime, though I wouldn't have paid attention at the time, they were still printing, you know, in yes. Fill where you have the end of a story and you have a little space. They would put in a joke like, you know, the gentleman talked to, you know, brought his serving girl Daisy in and said, this is a thermos and, you know, it'll keep something hot and cold. And she says, how would Gwine know whether you want it hot or cold? That was normal for white Americans.
Yeah.
Well, that's what passes best for humor.
Yep.
You know, we've always been, you know, the butt of a lot of humor. Some of it, I think most of it is pretty harmless. There are other, you know, we need to, when it comes to fighting racism, we got to pick our battles.
Yes.
And, you know, the New York Times being an institution, you know, they may should have come under more scrutiny, but we need to pick our battles. And
I agree.
There's just so many battles these days.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
You know,
can lose.
You got no problem.
Yeah, you can lose heart. I mean, we have to choose the battles. We can't fight everything all at once.
Can't fight it. That's right. Exactly. So, back to your original question. That's what Return of Son of Incoherent Ramblings is, or that's what it tries to be.
Well, I was glad to hear Paul Robeson's voice the other night.
Paul Robeson, a great American. I don't know how else to describe him.
Yes.
Just a great American. His life story, he was born in 1898. Died in 1976, I think shortly, I think it was right before America's Bicentennial
right.
celebration. I remember all that Bicentennial stuff. And just a great human being. Of course, he got way more respect in other parts of the world than he did here.
Yes.
You know, if you mention Paul Robeson's name now, all the people, he was a communist.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was a communist, but, you know, when it comes to American racism, I would imagine it was any port in a storm for Mr. Robeson and a lot of other black people.
It was.
Yeah.
Because
and I, at that time, I know the Communist Party was saying things that was attractive to black Americans.
Well, another way to put it is nobody else was saying the things that we now take for granted in terms of black folks.
Basic human dignity and equality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Other parties were kind of really, looking the other way.
I don't think, though, that we've really ever had true communism on anywhere on this planet. From what I've seen in places like the old Soviet Union and Cuba, you had a dictatorship under the guise of communism.
Oddly enough, the closest we've come is a province of India called Kerala, K-E-R-A-L-A. Which still had a hereditary Raja, but he just did ceremonial things and, you know, opened kindergartens. Anyway, we'll talk about that offline. We got to move on to our next segment in a moment, talking about flock cameras, but we've been talking about Jerome Davis's show, Return of Son of Incoherent Ramblings. So
Thursday
tell folks...
Sunday nights at 8.
Okay, well, I'll be listening Sunday night at 8.
And it's been a pleasure talking with you.
See you soon.
Is that Miss Baker?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, nice talking to you. I hope to see you soon.
I hope so.
I'll see you maybe working out.
All right, man. Hey, I don't do it that much, bro.
I haven't been doing it, but I got to start.
Okay.
Take care.